All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. Big day, big weekend, lots going on, and I am excited to talk about it with you. So let's get right into it because we got a few things going on. First of all, the first thing right off the bat that I'm going to mention that every one of us on all of our podcasts should be mentioning today, if you're listening to this on the day of release, my podcast gets posted on Thursdays at JoeBucksFan.com. Today is the two-week marker. We are 2 weeks out, 2 weeks from right now. Again, if it's Thursday for you, you may be listening to this at any time. We'll be getting ready for round one of the National Football League draft, which, man, kind of snuck up on me this year. Just seems like it just got here too quick. But in all seriousness, this one is going to be as big and as fun as any we've ever had, at least by Joe Bucks fan standards. If you haven't heard about the Joe Bucks fan watch party, again, right off the bat, that's what you need to know about. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, and I know a lot of people listen to this podcast and all the Joe Bucks fan stuff all over, but if you're in the Bay area and you want to really max out your experience here, the Commish, the Joes, Ira, they are putting on a hell of a show at the Buffalo Wild Wings on Southdale Mabry. It's right across from Britton Plaza. If you're a Tampa person, you know where that is. But it's not far. It's just north of Gandy on Dale Mabry and probably a few miles south of 275 on Dale Mabry if you're coming from the 275 route. We're talking about a $20 buffet, all you can eat, which I know appeals to you. We're talking about drinks. We're talking about fun. We're talking about music. We're talking about all the Joe cast of characters going to be there. We're talking about people booking blocks of hotel rooms that they have assembled, Justin and the gang, for a special rate. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, really, it's crazy. So that's something you need to be thinking about 2 weeks away. And there's been more and more about all the different scenarios. Nothing at this point is happening. Most of the hay is in the barn. I can tell you that Nick Chubb was the latest person to visit $1, but all the prospects have been coming through. Wouldn't it be cool if the Bucks got two Chubbs, like got Bradley Chubb and then Nick Chubb? Anyway, we'll talk about that later. Point is, at this point, I think most of the hay is in the barn. Whatever's going to happen, well, that remains to be seen because no team knows what any other team is going to do for sure. But as far as the research and everything that's been done and the incredibly exhaustive amount of work that goes into these drafts, and I cannot even begin to fathom the amount of preparation that these teams do from Jason Light all the way through the scouts, his assistants, I mean, all the people, all the travel, players coming to us, us going to players, 32 teams all doing the same thing, the combine, the interviews, the drills, the pro days. I mean, the NFL draft really is a massive undertaking when you think about just the scope of everything that gets done. And I honestly wonder, and there's no way to ever know this, but I honestly wonder if the results would be almost the same if you just did it out of an office using the internet and just did some research and watched some game film. Like, did the stuff that some of your more hardcore fans maybe does, or maybe do. You know, people like you and me, like, I haven't interviewed any players. I didn't fly to the combine. I haven't gone to anybody's pro day. I haven't hosted any players at my house. I haven't done any of this stuff. But go on Twitter and look at combine measurements, watch college football, and just generally read all the scuttlebutt. And I wonder if you just did that and just didn't do anything else, and then you held a draft, how much more differently it would turn out, how much more successful or unsuccessful teams would be. I'll bet you it's not that different. And obviously, in life, one of the few things we can control is how hard we work, how much effort we put into something, how much preparation we do for something. So what do people do? They do those things. If you're a hardworking person, if you want to succeed, those are the things you do. And I'm not saying, you know, depending on what it is we're talking about, those things matter a great deal more. Again, from event to event, I bet you it doesn't matter that much in the draft. And I'm not trying to discourage hard work, but, you know, you do it because you don't know what else you could do. It's kind of the same as coaching football. Like some of these coaches, you always hear about sleeping in their offices and this and that. And, you know, oh my God, the guy's got an air mattress in the copy room over at $1 or over at this facility or that facility. And he goes home twice a week, but then the rest of the week during the season, he's there because that's what you do. You grind. And what if he just went 8-5, 8-6 and went home every day like a normal person? You know, what if these coaches did that? Would it matter? I mean, I guess if everybody was doing it, it would cancel out. But, you know, Steve Spurrier always used to say, yeah, if it ain't done by 6 p.m., then that's about it for the day. You know, he didn't do that whole sleep in the office thing. But I think people just do it because you figure, oh, the other guy's doing it too, and we got to do this because if we don't do it, somebody else is going to do it, and then we're not going to do it. And I wonder about that. But if you just got Joe Q Fan and said, okay, hey, come sit next to me. Like Jason Light could be like, Joe Q Fan, just sit next to me during this draft, and then you just tell me who to pick. And, you know, a fan might say, okay, here's the 7th pick. Who's there? Okay, we got Nelson. We got Saquon Barkley. We got so-and-so. And I'll bet you their hit of success, like, rate would be almost the same. Just saying, let's go Barkley here. I like him. Or, you know what? Let's go Quentin Nelson. I honestly don't think it would be that much different because the draft is such a crapshoot anyway. You can't outwork it. And that doesn't mean they shouldn't try. That doesn't mean you shouldn't get to know the players. That doesn't mean you shouldn't try to find out everything you can about them. Try to find out everything you can about the way they play, about people who know them, about this, that, and the other. Get all the measurable. You shouldn't try not to do that, but I honestly don't think much changes. And either way, it's really fun to watch. It's really fun to look back on years from now. It's going to be a lot of fun in 2 weeks. But my point is, whatever's going to happen now has probably already happened. And now it's just a matter of just seeing how the chips fall on draft night. But that's the fun part. That's the drama. That's the part you and me and everybody else have been talking about for all these months and months and months. And now it's the part that's 2 weeks away. So 2 weeks, go to joebucksfan.com if you want more information on the actual party and you can get all the X's and O's. But that's the gist of it. You need to check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun. Now, as far as actual on-the-field news, we got some this week because we have ourselves a preseason football schedule. So here's the thing with schedules, and the regular season schedule should be coming out soon. They don't give you an exact date until like 2 days before. Like, it's not like, hey, we know. But they always do it before the draft, and usually it's about a week before the draft. So sometime about this time next week, it should be either coming out or have already come out. You know, I'm not pinpointing a day, but maybe next Thursday night. You know, maybe next Friday afternoon. Of course, all the Twitter leaks. Maybe it's Wednesday night. I have no idea. But we got the preseason schedule now. And listen, this is, to me, I know the draft is a big deal and all the talk about the draft. But for me, when football season starts getting real is when a schedule comes out. When you have that piece of paper with a list of dates, times, teams, games. And you know what? It's happening now. And no other sport has a meaningful schedule. When the baseball schedule comes out, when the hockey schedule comes out, you know, I barely pay attention. I could care less. It's all the same. Doesn't matter. Football's the only sport where the schedule actually matters. And so, for the preseason, just taking a look at things here, and you've probably seen it by now, but in case you didn't notice, and the Bucks have had this happen a few times in recent years because of renovations to the stadium, but it's happening again in 2018. The first two preseason games will be the two road games. The second two will be the two home games. That means Raymond James Stadium will not have to be ready to go until August 24th. That's the week 3 game. That's a Thursday night against the Detroit Lions. Or it might be a Friday night. Don't quote me on that. August 24th, maybe a Friday night. But either way, 8 o'clock kickoff against the Detroit Lions. That's on CBS. That's national TV for the third preseason game. Week 1 at Miami. Week 2 at Tennessee. You get a slight, you know, Winston Mariota thing there that people will build up, even though they'll obviously not be in the game together very long. But again, at week 1 at Tennessee, week 2, then home against Detroit, week 3, and Jacksonville, week 4 on that final preseason game night. So let me tell you about this, because here's the thing. When the preseason games get laid out, what you look at is, obviously, if you're a season ticket holder, which games are you going to get? Because the biggest racket in all of sports continues to perpetuate itself. If you buy preseason, or if you buy season tickets for an NFL team, no matter which one it is, You don't get 8 tickets, you get 10, because there's the 2 preseason games in addition to the 8 home games. And you pay the same price for all 10 of them, baby. If your ticket on 50-yard line for that huge Monday night game in December costs you $175, then guess what? Your ticket on the 50-yard line for that garbage fourth preseason game on a Thursday night in August that may get canceled by lightning anyway also cost you $175. It is criminal. It is wrong. It is the single, and this is saying a lot, but it's probably, I would have to go back and do research. It's probably the single worst thing that NFL owners do to their fans. There might be some debate about that. So, at least, like, for example, the third preseason game, that's a home game. Okay, that's a little something. Again, nowhere near worth paying face value for a regular season game and paying the same price, but when you have that home game fall as the fourth preseason game, and you know as a season ticket holder you're going to be paying for that, not that it matters that much, because I wouldn't regard any of the preseason games to be that much worse or better than the fourth one. They're all garbage. But now you're paying for it. So here's, I've talked about this on the show before. I'll let you know a little secret. I'm not trying to, I always feel a little bit mixed emotion on this, because I love the Bucks. I support the organization. I don't want it to feel like I'm trying to go over their head and, you know, undermine them in any way. But I also care about the consumer above all else. And that's you guys. And they shouldn't be doing this anyway. So here's a little tip. If you're on the fence about buying season tickets, if you're thinking about buying them, what you can do, and if you're like on a yearly renewal thing where you already had them for a long time, it's a little bit more difficult to do this because you have to basically cancel and re-up every time. And I don't know if that's worth it for a lot of people. But if you're on your first time this year thinking, hey, maybe 2018, maybe I'm going to go out and buy season tickets, if the uniforms haven't prevented you from doing that already, then just buy them after that fourth preseason game. You don't have to buy them before the preseason starts. Everybody thinks, oh, I got to buy these now. The season's starting. Just call them the day after the fourth preseason game if you want to. And just say, hey, I want season tickets. And now you're just getting 8 instead of 10, and you're not paying for those preseason games. I have a hard time believing they don't want your money and that they're going to say, oh, nope, the deadline passed, sir. I'm sorry, you can no longer buy season tickets. You can call them with 4 games left in the regular season if you want, and just buy them then. Especially now, like, they used to print out a little booklet with all 10 of your tickets, and there were perforated edges, and there was glossy embossed logos on the tickets, and it was one of my favorite days of the year, because I used to have season tickets for about 15 years, and I used to love that day, usually late July, early August, but usually I think it was late July, and you'd come home, and just even from the street, you'd approach the house, and you'd see that little 8.5 by 11 envelope just leaned up against the door, and you knew what was in there, and the smell, the ink. Sometimes they use like football texture, like that pebbled leather in the little booklet, and you'd crack that thing open and just, oh, just take it in, baby. I got my season tickets. It was such a good feeling. So that might have made it more difficult because they would send you the tickets themselves, actually pre-cut and all that. In this case, you've got a card now, a little plastic credit card looking thing that just gets scanned every week. They can put whatever the hell they want on that, so just buy them after the second preseason game. If you're buying even the cheapest level of tickets, which, what is it, like $40 per, I think it is, or something like that? So you've got $400 for 10 games. Well, now you got $320 for 8 games. That's $80 that you just saved because you were able to be a little more savvy, because you were able to be a little bit more smart about it. And you know what? You can still go to those 2 preseason games if you want to. The 2 preseason games aren't going away. You can just go buy them in the street outside the stadium. I've done that many times where I've bought tickets outside. And I've done it for regular season games too. But just pay whatever it is, $10 usually. I mean, if you pay more than $10 on the street for a preseason game, unless it's like something that includes food, you're probably getting ripped off. But either way, that's a thing you can do. So that's just a little tip for anybody out there who's thinking about this in terms of the schedule and how the preseason lays out and stuff. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. Like, think about that. You don't have to do that. Now, as far as the actual preseason itself, aside from the criminal act of having to be, you know, made to have to pay for it in the same prices as the regular season, I don't have a problem with the preseason as much as other people do. Because when you look at the preseason, now if it was up to me, if I was just designing the NFL season, and I'm starting from scratch now, you said do whatever you want, I'd keep the 16 games, think that's the perfect number. Well, maybe even 14, but definitely not 18. And for the preseason, you need some. I'd either do two or three. I'd either do two with one home and one road, or I'd do three with one home, one road, one neutral. Like, imagine if every team did, you know, you get your home game, your road game, and every team did a neutral game, and you use that neutral site game to move it around the country to places that don't have NFL games in person. And you can use college stadiums mainly and things like that. But give people in different parts of the country that are kind of further away from NFL stadiums a chance to see the NFL. You know, play a game in Orlando at the Citrus Bowl. That could be the Bucks' third game could be there. Or for the Jaguars, you could play at Tallahassee or in Gainesville. Play a preseason game there. Give people in those towns and surrounding towns a chance to just head down the street, not too far from where they live, and see an NFL game instead of having to drive a couple hours like they normally would. You know, you could play a game in Memphis if you're the Falcons or something like that. Again, just places that aren't that far away. Like Falcons-Titans could be a preseason game in Memphis. You could play a game somewhere in Oklahoma. Maybe the Cowboys go up and play a game in Norman at the Oklahoma Sooners Stadium. I mean, how cool would that be? And so you do three games. You get one in your home stadium, one in the other guy's home stadium, and one you get a neutral site game. You only need 16 of these neutral sites every year. 32 teams, they could each play each other and for one game. So it wouldn't be that hard to do. But I wouldn't eliminate the preseason. I mean, you need it. Maybe three instead of four. But the point is, if you are one of those people that just likes to bitch and moan about the preseason, and these people always come out of the woodwork every August talking about how horrible it is, you know what? They could just not play at all. Would you rather it be that way? Like, would you rather it be, okay, we're going to play one preseason game in late August, and then, boom, Labor Day weekend, we'll start the season. Because I can tell you this. I can tell you this. The preseason's not that great. It's not something I, like, sit in front of the TV and, like, live and die with every play or anything like that. But August 9th or 10th, whatever date it is for the first one, is going to roll around. And there's going to be football that weekend. There's going to be football that night, when otherwise there wouldn't have been for 3 weeks. So to me, that's a good thing. Now, if you're saying, well, they should replace them with real games, and then I want real football then. You want to play games, whatever, 18 games? Well, that's a valid opinion. I disagree with it for a lot of reasons, but people that just say, oh my God, why do they even bother? I can't believe this is on TV. Like, they're complaining that it even exists. Like, why would you complain about that? You don't have to watch it, but it sure as hell better to me than not having football at all, which is the alternative. So hell yes, I got excited when they released the schedule, and you better be excited for the regular season schedule coming out. Now, I don't know what it's going to look like yet. The Bucks last year were a big disappointment, but they still have Jameis Winston. They still have some star power, not like the bigger teams, and certainly the Bucks, even in their best of times, have never been a national TV draw like other teams have. But that's one of the most fun parts, and we'll talk about this on the show next week if it's out by then. But first thing I always look at is for the national TV games, anything that deviates from the norm. Because Sunday at 1 p.m. we're used to, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. What deviates from it? And you know you're going to get your Thursday night game because everybody's been doing that. And then we'll see how many Sunday night, or if any Sunday night. Or I think they'll probably get a Monday night, but is the Monday night a home game, a road game? Things like that are fun to see. A little bit of news about the Thursday night thing, and there was a lot of conflicting news, and Joe even tweeted me about it. He was the reason I found out about it first. Supposedly, and we don't know for sure yet because there's still more owners' meetings in May, but they're going to tweak the Thursday night thing. The Color Rush thing is not going to be a mandatory Thursday thing. It doesn't mean Color Rush won't exist. It just means it won't be automatic, you know, Color Rush versus Color Rush every Thursday night. And a lot of people are saying, oh, thank the Lord, hallelujah, the retina-inducing, or, you know, retinal-burning-inducing Color Rush is finally gone and all this and that.
And I might have been excited about that more a few years ago, but as you know, if you've listened to this show for any amount of time, the current Bucks uniforms are so just ungodly atrocious that it's really hard for me to get excited about the team just having more opportunities to wear those uniforms. I don't like the color rush. If it was up to me, you know, I have good taste and I have a good eye, which most people don't, but I do. I'd have one home uniform and one road uniform, and that'd be it. And it'd be nice home and road, not the crap they wear now. So all this alternate uniform, oh, we're going different helmets, all this stuff, I wouldn't do any of that. All right, you get a home and a road, like basically what you see from a lot of the teams that are the best-looking teams in the league. And I wouldn't mess with anything else. But since the Bucks have such ugly uniforms, the color rush doesn't bother me as much because those uniforms, quite frankly, they're not as bad as the regular ones. But we'll know more when the owners' meetings meet. And as far as throwbacks go, I don't know if anything's going to happen. I know a lot of people always say, hey, Bobby, you're Mr. Throwback. You love the orange uniforms more than anything that's not human in your life. And that's probably true. The Buccaneers' orange uniform, to me, is the perfect sports uniform, and I will love it as long as I'm alive. But you know why I'm okay with them not wearing it? Because that one shell rule, the one helmet rule in the NFL, which is preventing the Bucs and some other teams from switching helmets out and doing something with throwbacks, is okay with me. Because I don't want the NFL to devolve into the cesspool that college football is uniform-wise, where teams are, oh, we're going with our white helmets this week. No, we're going to go with dark one. We're going to mix and match. Every week's a new combination, baby. No. The NFL and college football should be better than that, too, but I certainly want the NFL to be better than that. And the one helmet rule prevents that. So even though I don't agree with the premise of the rule, I agree with the application, and I agree with the desired outcome. Now, head to the next 2 weeks. And I want to talk to you real quick about something that's coming up on Joe Bucks Fan. You know, we got the NHL playoffs coming up tonight. Some of the people that listen to this show are well-rounded sports fans who are into all kinds of things. Others are football, 365, 24/7, don't want to hear about anything else. I would encourage you, and if you're not into hockey in any way, you may not have the frame of reference, but it really won't matter. I want to encourage you. The NHL playoffs have started. The Lightning have their first game tonight, but other teams started last night. If you want to watch just human drama, if you want to watch just edge of your seat, white knuckle action, anything can happen at any time, treat yourself to a little NHL playoff action these next couple of months. And I hope the Lightning are a part of it for the entire 2 months. But you have a chance here. Again, I'm almost jealous of the people who aren't hockey fans because they get to do this for the first time. I wish I could go back and do it for the first time when I was first discovering hockey as a kid when we got the Lightning. But there is no playoffs. There's no playoffs, okay, I'm not going to say, because the NFL playoffs are great too, but there's no playoffs where the jump from the regular season to the playoffs, the difference, the level, the emotion, and the change you go just from the end of that regular season to that first playoff game, no sport sees a more profound distinction between its regular season and the playoffs than the National Hockey League. Four rounds, all best of seven, they play for the Stanley Cup, and do yourself a favor. Start with the Lightning if you want to, or just all the games are on TV. They're on weird-ass channels, like all the NBC channels down the line. So CNBC, USA has them, of course. NBC and NBC Sportsnet do, too. Give it a shot. Especially, like, watch a game in Winnipeg where they're starved. They haven't had a team win a playoff series in, you know, one of those really passionate, hotbed Canadian cities. You know, watch games in Nashville, phenomenal atmosphere. Look at what's going on in Vegas out there. Watch those games. Watch those crowds. Watch the energy. It is high-value, grade-A entertainment. And almost as if on cue, because Joe Bucks Fan does not miss a beat, we got Todd Wright, my very good friend and a guy I owe an incredible debt of gratitude for. He is in the fold doing a Lightning playoff podcast on Joe Bucks Fan. So if you follow Joe Bucks Fan on Twitter, or if you just go to the website, you'll see it. Couldn't be more excited. I'm actually going to be firing that podcast up as soon as I'm done recording mine, listening to it in the car when I head out here in a little while. And as far as the Lightning go, I don't know what's going to happen. I'll leave it to Todd to handle all the Lightning stuff, but I will say this. it's going to be a fun couple of months. And when you combine the NHL playoffs with the draft and all the anticipation, everything going on, we got some fun in front of us here the next few weeks. Then it's going to slow down. You know, we'll get into the middle of the summer when there's nothing really but Rays baseball, which hasn't looked too promising yet. And that'll really be it besides, well, you got the Triple Crown and golf tournaments and things like that. But, you know, we'll get into a rhythm of just kind of nightly doldrums, to be honest with you, just counting down the days till training camp. But not now. Right now, we got a lot of fun in front of us these next few weeks. So let's enjoy it, and let's have a good time, Lightning. In the meantime, anybody wants to get a hold of me, as always, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com is the email address. Twitter @BobbyGameDay. 2 weeks to the draft. Again, check out JoeBucksFan.com for all your information on the draft and the party that's going to be going on at Buffalo Wild Wings on Southdale Mabry in South Tampa. My neck of the woods. My life. I'm right. Even right now, I could probably hit driver 5-iron and get to that BW3, and I will be there for at least a little while on the night of the draft party, if I can even get in, if the velvet rope opens up for Bobby Game Day. Because we're talking about jam-packed and jelly-tight, and it's, I mean, $20. Like, $20 for the buffet and the drinks and everything alone is worth the fun. And if you have buddies over to your house, that's great, too. You're going to spend at least that much just getting a six-pack and a little bit of food. So keep an eye on things and any developments. You can follow Joe on Twitter for all that. I'm Bobby Fenton. That is the Free Stretch. Mid-April edition. We're 2 weeks out. NHL playoffs start tonight. Enjoy it all. Be safe. Have fun. And wherever you are, good afternoon, good evening, good night, and go Bucks.